This is Mae Brussel. This is the second half of a program titled World Watchers, in case you missed the first part of it and don't know what you're listening to. And it's broadcast 733. I number it for people who I hope tape off the air and listen and follow it by learning some of the names and the concepts here, which are new to a lot of people, to think of these interconnection of particular agents and the fact that they cause violence purposely at random in order to bring on fascism in a lot of different countries. This past week, Ronald Reagan announced that he wanted to give lie detector tests because there were so many spy stories breaking. And the interesting thing is that George Shultz has to be exempted from the lie detector test. The president announced he didn't have to take it, and Shultz said he would resign. George Shultz comes from Bechtel Corporation, which is one huge spy agency. He worked on the Nixon staff as Secretary of Labor and part of the Watergate scandals and should have been kicked out then once and forever. He's close to and works with Mr. Garnero down in Brazil and Kissinger Associates and Vernon Walters, the Knight of Malta, and William Casey. I'm sure that he would be very nervous if he had to take a test on any kind of activities because he's been espionage and secretive work probably the greater part of his life. So he is exempt, and I'm sure the top people that you need it the most for won't be taking it at all. Now, many of you have been reading about the farm crisis, and I'm not going into it in detail. I don't want to divert too far, but it isn't far off from Lizzie O'Jelly and Martin Bormann and Joseph Mengele and the network of people who are tangled into the P2 scandal that I've just been describing. The Washington Times had a long article, "As Farm Crisis Deepens, Suicide Epidemic Grows." And they did a two-part story, which was not just an article, but the full page plus the front page. So these are long, in-depth studies. One is titled, "Neo-Nazi Groups Recruiting Farmers in Economic Despair." Now, the neo-Nazi groups go back to the military in the Philippines, the Kriegsakademie in Germany, the Defense Department and defense contracts to people like William Pierce, and links to firms, the Air Force, to Boeing Aircraft, to United Technology, Lockheed Aircraft. They're not just kooky Nazis. These groups are waiting, or maybe the farms are being caused to collapse so that these groups can come in and have an excuse as saviors to help their problem. One of the large leads above this article in the Washington Times is titled, "Aryan Warriors Believe U.S. Race War is Imminent." There's many people that believe it and know it, and of course this was the theme of the Manson family, testing the killing and the activities of these particular people, far-right people being trained by Vietnam veterans. Another title above an article, a large article in the Washington Times, is "Neo-Nazis Cultivate Farmers Religiously." And there's a picture of Richard Butler in his pulpit. Many of you have seen it at the Church of Jesus Christ Christian in Hayden Lake, Idaho, the founder of the white supremacist organization called the Aryan Nations. He says, "We must fight like every other white American who wants to take back his country." What they don't tell you is that Richard Butler, who's photographed at his pulpit, came from Lockheed working in Burbank on the U2 program. At the same time, Thane Caesar was there, the man who murdered Robert Kennedy, and that this reverend took on a reverend collar so that he couldn't be interrupted or investigated, but he is the nucleus of people from the order who go to him, and magazines like Spotlight and Soldier of Fortune and so forth have locations and addresses where they can connect when they get out of prison to start working with these military groups. Now, the article, one of these articles has another large caption. "Instead of wearing hooded robes or sporting Nazi-type uniforms, they wear boots and jeans and seed corn hats. They drive pickup trucks. They talk about God, about their country, about patriotism. They drink coffee at dawn with farmers at local cafes. They discuss soybean, feed corn, and cattle." This is the group that John Singh Laub and Robert Brown and various members of the far right with the Posse Comitatus, the Nazi Party, the Soldiers of Fortune, they're training them to go into these areas. G. Gordon Liddy goes to these conventions of Soldier of Fortune, and they tell these people where to get the uniforms and guns and begin getting active. Another article was sent to me from the Kansas City Star. Despair born of hard times makes farmers vulnerable to right wing. Now, I'm not citing 3-inch articles. These are long investigative reports that cover a half a page or a full page, and I'm not giving you the details right now. Another article out of Tempe, Arizona. FBI probes neo-Nazi tie in threat to anti-war professor and 3 students. The FBI is investigating allegations that there's threats in Arizona State University to a professor, Mark Reeder, and 3 of his students with a telephone call identifying themselves as the Order. The Order is an extremist group responsible for the slaying of Denver radio personality Alan Berg, June the 18th, 1984. Now keep in mind, if you don't remember it, that the common denominator out of the Order is Manfred Roeder, who goes up to Richard Butler's place in the summer when he's not in jail. He's in jail in Germany at the present time. And his wife attends their annual meetings, and Manfred Roeder, an attorney in Germany, is the connection to the international Nazis, the Klan and Nazis, and the Defense Department, and also they tie into John Connally, our former Secretary of the Treasury, Secretary of the Navy, Governor of Texas, with links to these people out of Houston, Texas, and elsewhere. Now, the article goes on. This particular one that was sent to me tells about a student who got a threat. He's part of a group called the Organization to Prevent Nuclear Annihilation. And for that, he got a long-distance call saying, "We, the Order, demand you recant your Marxist-Leninist views by writing a letter to the paper. If you don't want nuclear annihilation, you are a Marxist-Leninist." And it's getting to that point with the weapons, and that's exactly what they're saying. He'd written an anti-war letter to the university press, and he got a death threat. They said they know how to deal with him, that they can fine him if they want to. Reeder, who was criticized by the Washington, D.C.-based Accuracy in Media. This is the professor who was written up by Accuracy in Media, the right-wing group that Ronald Reagan has unleashed to attend the campuses, and then they can report back to the Order who to kill. This is where your conservative, respectable right-winger can hand it to the crazies, just as the George Bushes can give it to the anti-Castro Cubans or Michael Townley to kill Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Moffitt. It goes on, Skolnick, a sociology student and president of the anti-war organization, he got a call November the 16th. They demanded I change my Leninist Marxist way. They were trying to be very intimidating, but they didn't say especially what they were going to do. The professor, Mr. Reeder, an anti-war organization advisor, and Brem, his teaching assistant in political science, were called and didn't respond to these charges. They have told the FBI that that this is happening, but they weren't answering telephone calls. Now, the Detroit Free Press has a story. Second Oakland University professor faces accusation of liberal bias. Accuracy in Media, that same organization, a conservative watchdog group, received a second complaint about the Oakland University professor for presenting allegedly biased political views among the concerned the faculty and students and the campus. An Oakland student's allegations that Robert Goldstein, associate professor of political science, criticized President Reagan's U.S. foreign policy and flunked the student because of his conservative views. Accuracy in Media's executive director, Les Corba III, C-S-O-R-B-A III, would not comment on the Goldstein case. Goldstein, 38, had taught at Oakland since 1976, specializing in civil liberties, and published 2 books. He would not comment on the particular charges. He said he didn't feel that an allegation by an anonymous student is worth a news story, but it is, and he said we're going into the McCarthy era, the J. Edgar Hooverism, and that there were other complaints at Rochester campus there were disclosures out of Accuracy in Media, and they said the professor had a distorted view of Nicaragua. So Accuracy in Media is then turning the goon squads out and probably sharing information that can have people killed and threats on their lives important enough to report to the FBI. Now, in Omaha, Nebraska, certain people are getting concerned about the activities there, and I got an article, several articles sent to me. It says the head of the Nebraska State Patrol said they are exploring whether paramilitary groups training in the United States have violated a law requiring them to obtain permits from the governor's office. A permit is required, according to a law in 1906, of any body of men whatever, other than the regular, organized Nebraska National Guard of the state and the troops of the United States, to associate themselves as a military company or an organization to drill or parade with arms within the limits of the state without the license of the governor. The law enforcement officers have just recently raided a farm, found large weapons, cash, and two bodies were murdered. People were murdered there. Three people were charged with the murder. And they're checking into these laws on how they can control them. Now, they had a bill several years ago, but it was turned down. And people involved with this activity said that, this is what they said, there are lots more like us. We're not worried. We have our guns. We got our guns. We got God on our side. Hell, our training camp has more machine guns than the whole state patrol. This is in Omaha, Nebraska. Karen Stransbury, a freelance writer, went to a meeting in Brew, Nebraska, and reported the things they were saying at that meeting. In another article out of Lincoln, Nebraska, need to toughen laws on extremists studied. And this is very important. If you could do one thing in 1986, you would find the links of the paramilitary right to the Nazis in Germany, to Adolf Hitler's Nazis, and then the neo-Nazis, and up in Idaho and South America, down to San Paulo and Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, and Germany, Bonn, and so forth. They all connect in certain cities in the United States particularly, and make that connection and try to stop these paramilitary groups. In Lincoln, Nebraska, State Senator Peter Hoagland said he believes the legislature will approve more stringent state laws dealing with extremist paramilitary groups. Now, as I say, they tried it before and it didn't work, and they referred to a shootout in Cairo, Nebraska, and an officer was killed. There was a shootout, and there are deaths. You've been reading about the members of the Posse Comitatus and so forth. Now, also out of Idaho, this was sent to me, white supremacists want preaching rights. And this gets, again, to Richard Butler, who becomes a minister, a scientist working for Lockheed, for an agency that funds coups, overthrows, mafia money, Japanese mafia, Reverend Moon, Prince Bernhard, scandals of the Lockheed dimensions are so tremendous. And then Richard Butler came from there. Now, this is from Boise, Idaho. The head of the Aryan Nations Church denied its white supremacist anti-Semitic doctrines encourage racial hatred in a testimony before the judge. And the reverend wants to preach in prisons. These are known killers, and Adolf Hitler took people, known killers, out of prisons to run concentration camps. The Reverend Richard Butler, founder and head of the church, testified Monday on behalf of two inmates who claim in a suit that they were restricted on their right to preach and distribute church literature, and that's unconstitutional. Butler resumed his testimony and said his church is recognized by the state. It was incorporated in 1975. We don't advocate racial hatred. We advocate racial responsibility. We have a very powerful anti-Christian movement in this country, such as the Anti-Defamation League. The Antichrist is trying to overthrow the Christians. The church at Hayden Lake in northern Idaho is linked to the white supremacist groups, including the Ku Klux Klan, the Order, which has been charged with racketeering. Butler denies involvement in there, but part of CAA covert denial that I gave you on the air just last week, program 732, you separate yourself from the group, even though they pray with them, go to Butler's place, get their training for killing, get their forged counterfeit money in a print shop by Mr. Butler that's on the premises of Reverend Butler, and they also give him a hunk of the money after it's stolen from banks, such as the Ukiah Bank, over $3 million. Now, the U.S. District Judge Marion Callister is presiding over the trial, which is held for security reasons at a state prison south of Boise. Melvin McCabe, who's serving 10 years for burglary, and Mark Madsen, serving 5 years for involuntary manslaughter, filed the suit. The officials said they imposed the restrictions to minimize violence and the problem with the Aryan Nations, which, of course, set up a lot of problems in the United States, in California and in Arizona, and, well, probably 50 states around the country. The Aryan Nations have a lot of prison violence, but particularly in Texas. Raymond Pecunier from California went to Texas, and after he became the head of the prisons there, there were more murders and killings. He just resigned, and he also was at New Mexico prior to the mass killings of informers down there. So they're listening, taking this case. It said, we're concerned about the civil rights of everyone here, the Idaho Corrections Director said. I'm concerned that there are Hispanics and blacks and Jewish inmates, and they would be very threatened by this. McCabe testified that Jews and Christians should be separated so that a race war doesn't break out. The Bible says what should and will happen to them. The things God has not planted himself will be uprooted and thrown to hell, and the Jews were not planted by him. Now, this is Richard Butler wanting to take his religion to the men in prison who will soon be out, who were there for all kinds of manslaughter, burglary, and murder, and teach his religion. And then they, as I say, get the classified out of Liberty Lobby, and they find out where to meet each other when they get out of prison, and they immediately connect. Charles Ng, who's responsible for these mass murders in California, was in a prison stealing weapons for the future Fuhrer, I suppose, in Hawaii. And when he gets out of prison, he can connect to Leonard Lake in California via these magazines. And from there, they build a bunker in California to begin mass killings. And that, now, speaking of murder, and then I'm building up to, and probably won't have time, of course, this week. I always run out of time, but I'll continue. We have other weeks to follow. There was a story in the New York Times this past week, inquiry by state on Gross finds medical lapses. That's the title of it. It has to do with Dr. Elliot Gross of New York City, the largest city in the United States, who has been charged with, he's been accused of improperly failing to determine the manner of death of four people in police custody that were homicide. He deviated from the standard professional practice in five other cases, according to the charges. These charges were just made public. The state said Dr. Gross had, in certain instances, displayed a lack of knowledge of firearms and firearm residues. He performed a superficial and inadequate pathological examination for fractures during one autopsy and inappropriately suggested that an assistant endorse his findings in another. He was charged with having practiced medicine fraudulently by giving testimony as an expert witness for the defense during a New Jersey court hearing that was incorrect, not in accord with basic scientific and medical knowledge, not a plausible hypothesis for the cause of death. The defendant was acquitted of beating a two-year-old. Now, this is New York City, as I say, the largest city in the United States, and the problems going on there with the undertaker, not the undertaker, not the one who buries them, but with the offices that do the autopsy to determine whether there was a homicide, a murder, or natural cause, it has been going on for a long time. And preceding Dr. Gross, it's his boss, just before he took over, was Dr. Biden. And Dr. Biden was removed from office because of various charges similar to those that I just read that his successor took along with him. Dr. Biden is from the CIA. He was the doctor representing the autopsy reports for the House Select Committee on Assassinations with G. Robert Blakey. And Biden worked not only with Blakey, but with Dr. Curley, who worked on the JFK case when they examined it the second time, and Curley then worked with the Joseph Mengele case, and these people have a history of lying, of distorting things that has been proven in a court of law, and of course, along with the Warren Commission, covering up the medical autopsy report and the direction of the bullets on John Kennedy was Arlen Specter of the CIA, who's now a senator, who in February 85, along with those other people I mentioned in February of 85 last week, of the Warren Commission and the CIA, was the man who was yelling in Congress with Senator D'Amato, where is Mengele, where is Mengele, getting his muddy water, muddy feet into that water of the Mengele, Barbie, heroin drugs with Tommaso Busetti, the South American connection to Italy, to the United States. This office, run by Dr. Biden before Dr. Gross came in, was the one that gave permission through Dr. Biden, who was in California, cremate Nelson Rockefeller. And the point about this article and the wrong treatment of homicide is that Nelson Rockefeller was killed so that Ronald Reagan would be able to have total control for the government for the purpose of doing just what he's doing today. And if you don't know what he's doing today, just buy three newspapers and read them from one end to the other, and you can figure it out. At the time Dr. Biden gave the orders to cremate Nelson Rockefeller, which is unusual for this particular method of burial for that family, he was in La Costa, California. And down in La Costa is the home base of Mo Dallas of organized crime. Dallas is a client of G. Robert Blakey. And this was a very important decision. Every decision to every family is important. And Dr. Gross and Dr. Biden have been messed up with disinformation and sleazy operations from that office, just as Dr. Thomas Noguchi has done some very, very questionable things in Los Angeles and has become sort of a superstar writing books and getting on TV. Now, to go to the crime story, because I wanted to get into the just recent murders, I'll just mention a few of them. The most notorious was Paul Castellano this week, the primary witness to the drug trials going on. That is the most notorious murder. But I want to refer again to October the 18th, 1985, the New York Times story on G. Robert Blakey of the House Select Committee on Assassination setting up the current investigations of the mafia trials and working between here and Italy with his questionable connections of other people that he could have investigated, and also it's going to cover up at these current trials. I'll do more about Blakey in a minute. I want to say, in addition to Paul Castellano, probably the kingpin witness to these various trials going on in New York City. There are major drug trials going on. I'll run them down for you if I have time right now. Castellano was wiped out, I heard, and this I've never put on the air, usually a hearsay, but I got it from Ted Gandolfo, a very good researcher. He called me yesterday and said that Representative Bill Green of New York City told him that Gaetan Fonzie was murdered 3 days ago, that would have been on about the 20th, in Florida. He was found in a garage with a bullet through his head. Now, Gaetan Fonzie worked for G. Robert Blakey, the associate of Mo Dallas and Louis Neitzer. He was the man who had the appointment to visit George de Morenschild, primary witness out of 552 witnesses for the Warren Commission, and he was to see de Morenschild in Florida in the afternoon. And Edward Epstein of Reader's Digest was with de Morenschild in the morning, the Reader's Digest that promotes the story of Claire Sterling and the Russian-Bulgarian plot to kill the Pope. Epstein is from that group, and he had breakfast or visited with de Morenschild in the morning. De Morenschild was dead at noon, and Gaetan Fonzie was one of the primary investigators, along with Clifford Fenton, in the investigation of John Kennedy the second time around. Clifford Fenton had gone to Jim Garrison's office, and he had his life threatened. I talked to a friend in New York and said, call the Associated Press, the United Press, and find out if Gaetan Fonzie was in fact murdered. But Ted said that he did get this from Congressman Green, and he was very sure about that. Now, another person important to these trials, one of the kingpins between Aja and the Pazienza story, which is the P2 and the Bologna bombing, and the kingpin between the Masonic Lodge and Licio Gelli and Pazienza, so from that connection, Bekir Salenk was murdered October 15th. I stress his importance. Gaetan Fonzie is important because of what he knows about those people that are currently being swept into these trials and into the parts that link to the Kennedy assassination. He would be knowledgeable about that, having worked with G. Robert Blakey. Now, Anilio Della Croce died December the 9th. Anilio Della Croce was a mafia boss who was an FBI informant for 20 years. He helped try to solve the disappearance of Teamster leader Jimmy Hoffa, which was reported in Time magazine last week. And the allegations in William Taub's book is that Raymond Donovan, our Secretary of Labor, who took time off for his trial, and that is in limbo, like the Klaus Barbie trial. He allegedly hired the man who killed Jimmy Hoffa for the Schiavone Construction Company. This article tells that he was a close member of the New York Gambino clan. That's the Michael Sindona group, close to the Vatican again, and the Secretary of the Treasury, David Kennedy, and so forth. And he was one of the chief enforcers of the Crime Commission, an 11-man council. And he took a very major part after Mafia boss Carlo Gambino died in 1976. Now, Della Croce, it's interesting, should just happen to die just a week and a half or so before Paul Castellano and his driver are gunned down. He drove around the country, interestingly enough, disguised as a priest. And after Watergate, there was sort of an order that spies and CIA people and FBI couldn't be newspaper people or priests or use those disguises. But according to this account, he worked for the FBI 20 years, as well as the Gambino family, disguised as a priest. And this is the story of his, just an article with a brief account of his life. And then it goes on. Della Croce gave the FBI leads in the disappearance of Hoffa, whose body they never found, and helped break several major narcotic cases. One of the drug busts was the so-called Pizza Connection, now being tried in New York City. 22 reputed mobsters from the United States and Sicily are charged with heroin traffic through the pizza parlors. So this is, well, as the coffee machines, the pizza parlors. Now, another person who was murdered November the 19th, who allegedly funneled $100 million into narcotics traffic into South America and tied to the Lockheed scandals, just as Richard Butler worked for Lockheed as Nicholas Deke. I haven't done much on his murder yet, the head of Deke Pereira, who was shot in New York City just at the time that he was up for indictment of the multinational, multi-millions, the combination of the OSS, the CIA, the Nazi connections, the Lockheed connections, the drug, the silver and gold, and the commodities. He is a part of all of that, and of course he was gunned down, and then there was the mafia killing. They tried to pass it off as a mafia killing or a crime war as soon as Castellano was killed. Now, the interesting thing is that while they tried to pass it off as that, most of the TV and the interview shows discussed the Nazis and the Klan killing Paul Castellano. I'm running out of time, but I'll develop that later. But I just want to run down where these various trials are going so that you understand that there is a series of indictments are over, they're being tried, going on here and in Italy. The major one of them is Palermo, Italy, with several hundred, over 350 defendants, and they are being charged for gun running, drug traffic, and everything, murder, a large group of charges. Now, in New York City, in room 318, is where Paul Castellano, the head of the Gambino faction, was being tried, the late Paul Castellano. In room 1506 in New York City, the Genovese crime group is being charged for racketeering and restaurant industry fraudulent activities. The Castellano group, Gambino faction, is 10 defendants, and his killers, as I say, have been described as right-wing and Nazi killers, so I have to develop that with you later. In room 506 in New York City is the case of Tommaso Buscetta and the prosecution of 22 people involved with drug money, heroin, and the deposits into the banks of Merrill Lynch and George Bush's brother-in-law, the E.F. Hutton group. And this is a very important group, and Mr. Buscetta is testifying there. And this has to do with the Bonanno family, but they all interconnect and link in a very short time. I'll explain those connections. And in room 35, Carmine Persico and 10 other men in Brooklyn are being investigated, headed by the Colombo family, on racketeering charges. Now, a lot of these people who are testifying in one courtroom jump over and give evidence about another person in the other courtroom or the other trial. In the District of New York, in Brooklyn's, in Queens, where these 28 people are charged with labor racketeering, moving storage and air freight and so forth from, with goodness knows what's in it, probably drugs, and the charges vary including murder, attempted murder, extortion, narcotics traffic, numerous home robberies, postal theft, mail wire fraud, interstate transportation of stolen property. One of the primary witnesses in room 35, Dominique Montiglio, the defendant there, was testifying against Paul Castellano, who was murdered last week. He was wiped out. So the cases overlap, and they're giving out information on each other. I'll continue on this complicated thread of the mafia trials and the murders and how they link to the United States intelligence and officials right up to the White House. But in the meantime, this is Mae Brussel. Our time is out, and I'll be back with you next week.